Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 997. Summoning the Demon, Part 2, Sorcerer's Apprentice. This is being recorded on February 20th of the year 2018. Well, as the title of the program indicates, this is a follow-up to For the Record 968, Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence, and Technocratic Fascism. We're going to be exploring that topic, and in order to understand what I mean by technocratic fascism, obviously that is not a term that one encounters a great deal. There is an article from uncomputing.org by David Golumbia, that's G as in George, O-L-U-M-B-I-A. And in that, he describes how technocrats, both hackers of various stripes, and the gigantic tech firms, Google et al., basically are at one. And this is explicitly set forth by Golumbia as follows. Such technocratic beliefs are widespread in our world today, especially in the enclaves of digital enthusiasts, whether or not they are part of the giant corporate digital leviathan. Hackers, civic, ethical, white, and black hat alike, hacktivists, WikiLeaks fans and Julian Assange, anonymous members, even Edward Snowden himself, walk hand in hand with Facebook and Google in telling us that coders don't just have good things to contribute to the political world, but that the political world is theirs to do with what they want, and the rest of us should just stay out of it. The political world is broken, they appear to think. Rightly, at least in part, and the solution to that, they think, wrongly, at least for the most part, is for programmers to take political matters into their own hands. Tor co-creator Dingledime, that's D-I-N-G-L-E-D-I-M-E, asserts that a small group of software developers can assign to themselves that role, and that members of democratic polities have no choice but to accept them having that role. And we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence and technocratic fascism. Please note the grotesque irony in people like Julian Assange and Edward Snowden and Glenn Greenwald being hailed as somehow liberators for arrogating to themselves the right to commandeer and disseminate information and software from organizations like the NSA and elsewhere. The concern on the part of many people is, of course, that the technical power of organizations like the NSA and others must have some sort of civic / democratic with a small d oversight and or vetting. By that same token, what sort of democratic oversight and or vetting has Julian Assange or Edward Snowden or Glenn Greenwald or, for that matter, Bradley Manning? I don't call him Chelsea Manning. He has had a sex change operation, but in a sign of great disrespect, he is not somebody I think much of. He took 750,000 classified files, which he could not possibly have reviewed, and basically gave them to the Fascist International. WikiLeaks is inextricably linked with the milieu of David Duke. Ron Paul, the neo-Confederate movement. This is a point that I have made over and over. How would you feel about Bradley/Chelsea Manning if he/she took 750,000 classified files, which, again, he could not, or he/she could not possibly have reviewed, and gave them to David Duke? That is basically exactly what he did. He gave them to Julian Assange, to Julian Assange's right-hand man, Joran Jermas, a.k.a., quote, Israel Shamir, a Russian-born Holocaust denier and fascist, who arranged for WikiLeaks to hold forth on the Pirate Bay website, which was financed by Carl Lundstrom, one of Sweden's most prominent fascists, also a man who, like Joran Jermas himself, networks with David Duke, another of Lundstrom's associates, is Daniel Freiberg, F-R-I-B-E-R-G, of Nordiska Haus, N-O-R-D-S-K-A, or Nordic Haus, a Nazi publisher in Sweden. Freiberg also presides over Red Ice Media and is now partnered in yet another media venture with Robert Spencer, who was going Heil Trump and reading from original Nazi propaganda in German a few blocks from the White House shortly after Trump's election. The point being that, well, several points. Our media just had not looked critically at who Edward Snowden really is, his antediluvian political views, very close to Ron Paul and the neo-Confederate movement, a person who thinks Social Security should be abolished, quoting him from 2009 when he decided to leak the NSA files while working, by the way, for the CIA in Geneva, Switzerland. Snowden observed that, quote, the elderly wouldn't be effing helpless if you stop sending them effing checks so they can sit on their A-blank-blanks and lie in hospitals all day. That is really a good summation of Eddie Snowden's politics. People have trusted Julian Assange to, as they say, tell truth to power, overlooking all of his fascist connections. It is ironic, in the extreme, Julian Assange, as a hacker, called himself, quote, Mendax the liar, M-E-N-D-A-X, the liar. Permit me to be so bold as to suggest that if you want someone to tell truth to power, someone calling himself Mendax the liar is a less than optimum selection under the circumstances. People have completely overlooked the nature of these people, and in so doing, they have made a terrible mistake. In addition to the far-right connections, not only Eddie Snowden himself, but also Jacob Applebaum, the lone American WikiLeaker, who assisted Snowden with his trip on his trip from Hawaii to Hong Kong, and who co-authored a book with Julian Assange in, I think, 2012. Jacob Applebaum has also received financing from the CIA. Applebaum, by the way, was fingered by James Bamford, an expert on the NSA, as very possibly being the true author of the material leaked under the, quote, shadow brokers, unquote, moniker. That is now being pinned on Russia, predictably as part of the Russiagate psyop and hysteria, failing to take a good look at who Jacob Applebaum is. This is an admittedly somewhat rambling summation of something really one cannot sum up in a short period of time, but these creatures who are as far to the right as you can get with strong links to David Duke, white supremacy, the neo-Confederate movement, and last but most assuredly not least, the CIA, are the people who have arrogated to themselves the right to handle this public information. What sort of public oversight? What sort of public vetting? What sort of checks are there on their activities? Well, that is a rhetorical question. There are none whatsoever. That is the fundamental point that is being made, I think, and a very important point by David Columbia when he says such technocratic beliefs are widespread in our world today, especially in the enclaves of digital enthusiasts. They believe the political world is broken, accurately, at least, rightly, at least in part, and that the political world is theirs to do with what they want, and the rest of us should just stay out of it. We are going to be advancing in this program to an admittedly futuristic discussion if one takes that technocratic belief and extends it to the world of artificial intelligence, which is now being developed. One has some very scary things indeed to contemplate. We will be spending a fair amount of this program on a fellow, a brilliant tech engineer named Anthony Levandowski, Levandowski. He is an engineer who was at the foundation of the development of Google's StreetMap or Street View technology and has been deeply involved with the development of Google's self-driving cars and also the Otto self-driving trucks technology. Levandowski was deeply involved with the development of the LiDAR technology, a radar-like laser technology which permits the self-driving cars to do what they do. He also, as we shall see, is the founder of an organization called Way of the Future, which has the status, the tax status, the fiscal status of a religion, and it is specifically designed at developing a super artificial intelligence godhead to rule the world and to be worshipped by the citizens of the world as a god. Later on in this program, I'm going to access an excerpt from a lecture I gave in January of 1995. It's lecture L2, called The Future, Technology, Theocracy, and the Thousand-Year Reich. And very, very, very sadly and very, very, very tragically, we are advancing very much into that horrifying reality. Again, technology, theocracy, and the Thousand-Year Reich. The brilliant Anthony Levandowski is working on, he now has incorporated with the status of the tax-free status of a religion, an organization called Way of the Future to develop a super AI, a super artificial intelligence to govern the world and to be worshipped by the citizens of the world as a god. Well, what could go wrong, Well, let me suggest that taking a good look at Anthony Levandowski from a Wired magazine article, which we are going to excerpt. A colleague of his said of Levandowski, quote, he had this very weird motivation about robots taking over the world, like actually taking over in a military sense. It was like he wanted to be able to control the world, and robots were the way to do that. He talked about starting a new country on an island. Pretty wild and creepy stuff. And the biggest thing is that he's always got a secret plan, and you are not going to know about it. That doesn't sound very good. We're going to review some key points of discussion from For the Record 968. That is Summoning the Demon, Part 1. But first, I want to touch on an article with which I closed For the Record 996. The article is reproduced in the description for that show and in the description for this show as well. It is from the New York Times of November 6th, 2017. It is from the New York Times and authored by Cade, C-A-D-E, Metz, M-E-T-Z. The Rise of the Machine. And what this is talking about is the state of the art of the technological development of artificial intelligence. Jeff Dean, one of Google's leading engineers, spotlighted a Google project called AutoML. ML is short for machine learning, referring to computer algorithms that can learn to perform particular tasks on their own by analyzing data. What they're talking about basically is having machines design other AIs, AIs designing other AIs with people minimally involved. And as the article notes, skipping down, a Joseph Sirosh, S-I-R-O-S-H, a vice president at Microsoft, which recently unveiled a tool to help coders build deep neural networks, a type of computer algorithm that is driving much of the recent progress in the AI field. We are eliminating a lot of the heavy lifting, unquote. This is not altruism. No, it most assuredly is not. And when one considers some of the things that have already been documented with regard to the development of artificial intelligence and some of the projects that are being brought online vis-a-vis artificial intelligence, I think altruism is the very last word that should be applied to this. We are now approaching a situation in which technocratic fascism may very well see the, if not the complete elimination of human beings down the line, certainly their subjugation to machines. A few things that we spoke about in For the Record 968, and also to an extent in For the Record 946. Right now, Facebook's R&D, which was headed by a woman named Regina Dugan, D-O-G-A-N, who used to head the Pentagon's DARPA project. DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Facebook's Building 8, their top R&D facility, is patterned after DARPA. Some of the things we spoke about in For the Record 946 and really in 968. Brain-computer interfaces are nothing new. DARPA, which Dugan used to head, has invested heavily in brain-computer interface technologies to do things like cure mental illness and restore memories to soldiers injured in war. Facebook wants to build its own brain-to-computer interface that would allow us to send thoughts straight to a computer. What if you could type directly from your brain? Regina Dugan, the head of the company's secretive hardware R&D division, Building 8, asked from the stage. Dugan then proceeded to show a video demo of a woman typing 8 words per minute directly from the stage. In a few years, she said, the team hopes to demonstrate a real-time, silent speech system capable of delivering 100 words per minute. That's 5 times faster than you can type on your smartphone, and it is straight from your brain, she said. Your brain activity contains more information than what a word sounds like and how it's spelled. it also contains semantic information of what those words mean. Facebook's Building 8 is modeled after DARPA, and its projects tend to be equally ambitious. But what Facebook is proposing is perhaps more radical, a world in which social media doesn't require picking up a phone or tapping a wristwatch in order to communicate with your friends, a world where we're all connected all the time by thought alone. I've spoken about some of the neurological principles involved in this technology, and again, that is set forth at greater length in, for the record, 968. Suffice it to say that with the development of the neurophone, which is decades old at this point, in addition to computers being able to interface with your brain and get information from your brain, information can also be broadcast into your brain. And ultimately, with all of these technologies, not just the computer brain technology of Facebook, but self-driving cars, self-driving trucks, these things will be hacked. Plus, many of them are connected with artificial intelligence. And consider the basic dynamic of technocratic fascism. What sort of vetting, what sort of regulation, what sort of democratic oversight by anybody or anything are these technologies going to have? These people are doing things because they can. And artificial intelligence will be deeply connected to these things. And as we will see, artificial intelligence has taken its own course. More about this. And by the way, there will be links in the description for this show, and those links are set forth at much greater length in, for the record, 968, Summoning the Demon, Part 1. Facebook hopes to use optical neural imaging technology to scan the brain 100 times per second to detect thoughts and turn them into text. Meanwhile, it's working on skin hearing, unquote, that could translate sounds into haptic feedback that people can learn to understand, like Braille. And again, what sort of oversight is going to be taking place? Facebook has been gathering psychological intelligence about troubled teenagers, and there is really no oversight into that as well. This was taking place in Australia, and again, there will be details in the links to this program. The 23-page document allegedly revealed that the social network, that's Facebook, provided detailed data about teens in Australia, including when they felt overwhelmed and anxious to advertisers. The creepy implication is that said advertisers could then go and use the data to throw more ads down the throats of sad and susceptible teens. So, by the way, could artificial intelligence, and they could do a whole lot more than that. Again, what sort of democratic oversight is there? What sort of vetting of this technology is there? What sort of regulation is there? And these things are being rolled out in the anti-regulatory environment of the Trump administration. By the way, Ms. Dugan, for whatever reason, resigned her position at Facebook not too long after 968 was recorded. I don't know why. A number of other interesting things, which in terms of civil liberties and privacy, just nuke the whole concept. Remember that technology can be hacked. These high-tech things can be hacked. And beyond that, what sort of regulation is there of the companies themselves? The NSA is about the last goddamn thing any one of you should be worried about in the tech world. What you should be worried about is damn near everything else, including and especially not only these things, but these things hooked up with artificial intelligence. How do you like this? Again, from For the Record 968, the Echo Look, the Alexa function of Amazon. Amazon is giving Alexa eyes, and it's going to let her judge your outfits. The newly announced Echo Look is a virtual assistant with a microphone and a camera that is designed to go somewhere in your bedroom, bathroom, or wherever the hell you get dressed. Amazon is pitching it as an easy way to snap pictures of your outfits, to send to your friends when you're not sure if your outfit is cute, but it's also got a built-in app called Style Check that is worth some further dissection. This might seem overly speculative or alarmist to some, but Amazon isn't offering any reassurance that they won't be doing more with data gathered from the Echo Look. You bet, boy. Continuing, when asked if the company would use machine learning to analyze users' photos for any purpose other than fashion advice, a representative simply told The Verge that, quote, they can't speculate on the topic. And these things are going to be hooked up to artificial intelligence. Just imagine your child, say your daughter, is using this technology with hooked up to AI, and she says something like, okay, Alexa, I want you to help me select an outfit for school, a good dress for school. And she says, okay, you want a good dress for school. Take off your bathrobe and let me see what you look like in your underwear so that I can help you select a nice dress for school. But you don't know what's being done with that information. It's being databased. It is being governed by artificial intelligence. It may very well be hacked. Or they could simply take the pictures of your daughter in her underwear and market it on the dark web to the freaks. People could be held hostage, saying basically, okay, you will cough up X amount of information, X amount of dollars in bitcoins to be deposited thusly, or we will spread these pictures of your daughter in her underwear all over the web. And if you make any attempt at reporting this to the authorities, God knows what will happen. Your daughter could say something like, okay, Alexa, I'm going to a party tonight, and there's a guy I really like there. I want to wear something that's really hot. Okay, you're going to a party, and you want to wear something that's really hot. The braless look is really hot. Take off your bra so I can see if the braless look will be good for you. And again, same thing. It could be hacked. It could be databased and marketed to the freaks on the dark web. This is hooked up to AI. There is no oversight of things like this. People are doing things because the technocrats are doing things because they can. And there is just no oversight of these things. And it is going to be, well, it is going to be very interesting indeed. I would point out some of the other things that we looked at in For the Record 968, some of Facebook's AI robots have learned to communicate in a special language all their own that their programmers cannot understand. Other AIs have learned to lie in a fashion that is quite sophisticated, mirroring or representative of the type of lying that children learn to do in late childhood or early adolescence. Other AIs have picked up many of the bigoted mindsets that some of their, well, users or that human beings have manifested for a long time. The point being that AIs have been learning from human beings and have been incorporating the deep, deep flaws of human nature into their almost supernatural or superlative technical intelligence. A point that I have made and a point that I can't stress strongly enough is that with these technologies, with the brain-to-computer face technology, which takes advantage of, among other things, the subtle changes in the electromagnetic field around the body when one is thinking, and with some of these other technologies, we are, or the technocrats are, arrogating to themselves the powers that would have been viewed as accessible only to a god or a supernatural being. And we are not gods or supernatural beings. We are still, forgive the repetition of a phrase I've used for many years, we are still the same femur-cracking, marrow-sucking Neanderthals that we have always been, with all of the deep, deep, deep flaws that we have always manifested. And now we have this kind of power. I feel really sorry for the young people growing up today. They think, oh, Facebook, wow, that's wonderful, and they've got their mobile technologies, and ye gods, and the poor parents trying to raise their kids, and, you know, you've got Alexa, the Echo look, you know, hi, Alexa, I want to wear something really hot, you know. Do you really? Okay, little girl, we've got something really hot for you and all of the freaks on the web, the hackers that are tuned into this. And, of course, what sort of oversight, what sort of regulation is taking place with regard to the companies themselves, the, who are arrogating to themselves the right to intrude into people's lives in a hitherto unimaginable fashion. Like I said, NSA is about the last thing you should be worried about in the digital world. What you really should be worried about is damn near everything else. Again, you're worried about the NSA. You should be worried about sitting in a restaurant or a coffee shop and having a conversation. Someone sitting next to you could be secretly taping that on their smartphone, or recording that on their smartphone and streaming it up to the internet, and you wouldn't even know about it. Really, there is no longer any concept of privacy. With regard to artificial intelligence, and bear in mind, again, the article from the New York Times, where now AIs, basically machines, are being used to do the heavy lifting in designing AIs. In other words, we are now having machines design the machines, and that is going to be very interesting indeed in light of some of the things that AIs have already demonstrated. Not only that they are incorporating the bigoted views of human beings, the deep, deep personality flaws in human beings, they have learned to lie, they have learned to communicate in their own language that their programmers could not understand. It also begs the question of whether perhaps they have learned, or it certainly raises the question of whether AIs have learned to lie in an even more sophisticated fashion than their programmers have yet become aware of, and perhaps they have learned to communicate in a language even more sophisticated and unknown to their programmers. If they have not yet, they may soon do that, particularly when AIs are being designed by other AIs. Now, again, turning to a very important and brilliant engineer named Anthony Levandowski, Levandowski. Levandowski has been a prime mover in the technology world. He was deeply involved with the development of Google's street map technology, or street view technology. He was deeply involved with the development of self-driving cars. He developed some companies on his own, the 510 company, no doubt derived from the 510 area code in the East San Francisco Bay Area, and also developed a company called Anthony's Robots, which is an interesting concept. In this, the article we're about to read, this brilliant engineer, again, someone who was very much involved with the development of self-driving cars. He was very much involved with the development of Google's Street Map or Street View technology. He is deeply involved with artificial intelligence. He was involved with Uber and is now one of the focal points in a huge litigation battle between Uber and Google's Waymo technology subsidiary dealing with self-driving cars. Anthony Lewandowski now has a company. It basically has the tax-free or fiscal status of a religion called Way of the Future. What it is aims at developing a super artificial intelligence which will rule the world and which will be worshipped by people in the world as a god. And again, the lecture I gave in January of 1995, well over 20 years ago, was titled The Future, Technology, Theocracy, and the Thousand-Year Reich. Article about that from The Guardian of September 28th of 2017. It's by Olivia, Olivia Solon, Solon. Deus Ex Machina. Former Google engineer is developing an AI god. Internet service? Check. Autonomous motorcycle? Check. Driverless car technology? Check. Obviously, the next logical project for a successful Silicon Valley engineer is to set up an AI-worshipping religious organization. Anthony Lewandowski, who is at the center of a legal battle between Uber and Google's Waymo, has established a non-profit religious corporation called Way of the Future, according to state filings first uncovered by Wired's Back Channel. Way of the Future's startling mission, quote, to develop and promote the realization of a godhead based on artificial intelligence and through understanding and worship of the godhead contribute to the betterment of society. One more time, because this is so, well, it is incredibly important, but I think in the way the words themselves could be said to get in the way of the understanding of how important and terrifyingly revolutionary this really is. Way of the Future's startling mission, quote, to develop and promote the realization of a godhead based on artificial intelligence and through understanding and worship of the godhead contribute to the betterment of society. Lewandowski was co-founder of autonomous trucking company Otto, which Uber bought in 2016. Bear in mind the autonomous trucking company. We're going to come back to that in another article in a few minutes. He was fired from Uber in May amid allegations that he had stolen trade secrets from Google to develop Otto's self-driving technology. He must be grateful for this religious fallback project first registered in 2015. The Way of the Future team did not respond to requests for more information about their proposed benevolent AI overlord, but history tells us that new technologies and scientific discoveries have continually shaped religion, killing old gods and giving birth to new ones. One of the things to bear in mind as we take a longer look at the brilliant Anthony Lewandowski and Way of the Future and the artificial intelligence Godhead, again, to rule the world and be worshipped by the citizens of the world as a god. Bear in mind that artificial intelligence has already been shown to incorporate the flaws of human beings into their operating patterns. They have also learned to lie in a sophisticated fashion, and they have also learned to communicate in a language which their programmers could not understand. Bear in mind that when you hear about Regina Dugan or whoever has taken her place now at Facebook's Building 8, designed on DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Regina Dugan was a former head of DARPA. Bear in mind that the Pentagon itself is deeply involved with much of this technology, and there has been a fair amount of press coverage, not as much as I think there should have been, about how AIs and robots are now being used in weapons technologies that are being developed. Ultimately, I think this is going to bite back on the human race in a huge fashion. But let's take a longer look at Anthony Lewandowski, the developer of the Way of the Future super artificial intelligence godhead to rule the world and to be worshipped by the world's citizens as, as God, basically. There is an article from Wired magazine of September 27th of 2017. It is by Mark Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S. God is a bot, and Anthony Lewandowski is his messenger. It talks about Lewandowski's various companies, 510 Systems, Anthony's Robots, and how many of these were ultimately incorporated into Google. Again, Lewandowski helped to develop Google's Street View or Street Maps technology, and has been at the forefront of many of the most remarkable and startling technological developments, including the LiDAR technology. That is a radar-like laser technology which basically enables the self-driving cars. He has been involved with Otto. Again, that is a self-driving truck firm. And he also is apparently a very flawed individual. People who know him have had a number of interesting things to say about him. From this Wired magazine article, some excerpts. An associate of his, again, we quoted this at the beginning, of Anthony Lewandowski, he had this very weird motivation about robots taking over the world, like actually taking over in a military sense. It was like he wanted to be able to control the world, and robots were the way to do that. He talked about starting a new country on an island. Pretty wild and creepy stuff. And the biggest thing is that he's always got a secret plan and you are not going to know about it. That does not sound very good when you're talking about, well, it doesn't sound very good, period, but when you're talking about somebody who's obviously very brilliant and at the forefront of developing AI technologies, and who wants to set up a super AI godhead to rule the world and to be worshipped by the world's citizens as a god. One of the people who was very close to Corey Lewandowski was the now-ousted CEO of Uber, Travis Kalanick, K-A-L-A-N-I-C-K. Again, from this same Wired article from 9/27/2017. In Kalanick, Lewandowski found both a soulmate and a mentor to replace Sebastian Thrun, T-H-R-U-N. Text messages between the two disclosed during the lawsuit's discovery process capture Levandowski teaching Kalanick about LIDAR at late-night tech sessions while Kalanick shared advice on management. Quote, bound to hang out this eve and mastermind some S blank blank blank, texted Kalanick shortly after the acquisition. Quote, we are going to take over the world one robot at a time, unquote, wrote Levandowski another time. And something to bear in mind about these technologies, people assuming that what these are going to do is to iron out all of the wrinkles that exist fundamentally with regard to human beings, that basically what they are seeking to do is to develop an aseptic humanity, basically a humanity minus the warts and the zits and the pubic hairs on the toilet seat. And you're just not going to get that. And indeed, the manifestation of these technologies will appear to be, well, less than optimum. Again, from the article from Wired magazine. Talking about Otto, that is the Levandowski self-driving truck program in Nevada, and a pilot self-driving taxi program that was extant in San Francisco for about a week. Last December, that would be December 2016, last December, Uber launched a pilot self-driving taxi program in San Francisco. As with Otto in Nevada, Levandowski failed to get a license to operate the high-tech vehicles, claiming that because the cars needed a human overseeing them, they were not truly autonomous. The DMV disagreed and revoked the vehicles' licenses. Even so, during the week that the cars were on the city's streets, they had been spotted running red lights on numerous occasions. I think in many ways this is a red light for these kinds of technologies. Even so, during the week the cars were on the city's streets, they had been spotted running red lights on numerous occasions. That doesn't sound too good. One of the many things I wondered about with regard to self-driving cars, what happens when they get hacked? And they will be hacked. My God, you could take a self-driving car, hack it, have it run over somebody or plow into a demonstration like the guy did in Charlottesville. Or do God knows what. They could plow into a gasoline tanker truck and cause an explosion and kill God knows how many people. We are doing things, or things are being done by the technocrats because they can do them, and there is no vetting, no oversight, no democratic regulation, or really any goddamn regulation of any sort. And bear in mind that AIs have already been demonstrated, as we showed in For the Record 968, to have incorporated the flaws of those around them. And with regard to Corey Lewandowski again, he had this very weird motivation about robots taking over the world, like actually taking over in a military sense. It was like he wanted to be able to control the world, and robots were the way to do that. He talked about starting a new country on an island. Pretty wild and creepy stuff, and the biggest thing is that he's always got a secret plan, and you are not going to know about it. And if his super artificial intelligence godhead incorporates his personality flaws, and I think that is certainly a possibility that has to be very seriously considered, well, God help all of us. This same Wired article has made a very, very good point. And that is, reading again from the article, but even the smartest car will crack up if you floor the gas pedal too long. Once feted by billionaires, Levandowski now finds himself starring in a high-stakes public trial as his two former employers square off. By extension, the whole technology industry is there in the dock with Lewandowski. Can we ever trust self-driving cars if it turns out we can't trust the people who are making them? Well said. By that same extension, by that same point of logic, can we ever trust artificial intelligence if it turns out that we can't trust the people who are making them? Or if we can't trust the machines whom the people who are making them have making them? Again, we are opening a door that we are not going to be able to close. A couple more points from this article of how Lewandowski got started on the self-driving cars road, so to speak. In 2002, Lewandowski's attention turned faithfully toward transportation. His mother called him from Brussels about the contest being organized by the Pentagon's R&D arm, DARPA. Same people for whom Regina Dugan, where she headed up DARPA. Facebook's Building 8 is patterned on DARPA. Continuing, the first grand challenge in 2004 would race robotic computer-controlled vehicles in the desert between Los Angeles and Las Vegas. A wacky race for the 21st century. It was DARPA that ultimately was the point of entry for Corey Lewandowski on the road that he has been traveling from Waymo, from a self-driving motorcycle called Ghost Rider, all the way on up through Google's Street View 510 systems, Anthony's Robots, and another company we're going to talk about here. Ghost Rider, by the way, was, again, a self-driving motorcycle company, has an interesting track record here. Lewandowski and his team of Berkeley students maxed out his credit cards, getting Ghost Rider working on the streets of Richmond, California, where it racked up an astonishing 800 crashes and 1,000 miles of testing. Permit me to be so bold as to suggest that does not inspire a lot of confidence. Another interesting thing, and again, Lewandowski has been involved in a number of different, well, he is involved in some serious litigation. Some of the companies he founded on the side, such as 510 Systems and Anthony's Robots, were ultimately incorporated into Google. And again, the LiDAR technology and Google's street map technology Lewandowski had, basically, it should be credited with much of that development. Now, this is very interesting from that same Wired article. In July of 2013, Gaetan Penicot, P-E-N-N-E-C-O-T, a 510 alum working on chauffeur's LiDAR team, that's a self-driving car team, got a worrying call from a vendor. According to Waymo's complaint, a small company called Odin Wave had placed an order for a custom-made part that was extremely similar to one used in Google's LiDARs. Penicot shared this with his team leader, Pierre-Yves Drou, the co-founder of 510 Systems. Drou did some digging and replied in an email to Penicot in French, which we have translated. They're clearly making a LiDAR, and it is John, 510's old lawyer, who incorporated them. The date of incorporation corresponds to several months after Anthony fell out of favor at Google. As the story emerges in court documents, Drou had found Odin Wave's company records. Not only had Lewandowski's lawyer founded the company in August of 2012, but it was also based in a Berkeley office building that Lewandowski owned and was being run by a friend of Lewandowski's, and its employees included engineers he had worked with at Velodyne and 510 Systems. One even spoke with Lewandowski before being hired. The company was developing long-range LIDARs similar to those Lewandowski had worked on at 510 Systems, but Lewandowski's name was nowhere on the firm's paperwork. There may be nothing to it. Odin, of course, was the head of the Norse family of gods. Odinism is a Norse religion that is favored by members of the Aryan nations. One of the prime movers behind the Odinist religion was Order member David Lane, who drove the getaway car in the murder of Denver talk show host Alan Berg. So whether there is actually a Nordic slash Nazi slash Odinist overtone to this, or perhaps a deep subtext, I do not know, but it certainly does not inspire a lot of confidence. Bearing in mind also the self-driving trucks, an article from the New York Times of February 11th of 2018 by Kevin Roose, R-O-O-S-E. His 2020 slogan, Beware of Robots. This is about a former tech maven named Andrew Yang, Y-A-N-G, who is running for president and is worried about what robots could do. Quote, skipping down. All you need is self-driving cars to destabilize society, Mr. Andrew Wang said over lunch at a Thai restaurant in Manhattan last month. In his first interview about his campaign, in just a few years, he said, we're going to have a million truck drivers out of work who are 94% male with an average level of education of high school or 1 year of college. That one innovation, he added, will be enough to create riots in the street. And we're about to do the same thing to retail workers, call center workers, fast food workers, insurance companies, and accounting firms, unquote. Well, indeed. As we wind down to a close, I want to close with a couple of points I've made. An article from BBC, made in 968, from BBC News, of December 2nd of 2014, article by Rory, R-O-R-Y, Selwyn Jones, C-E-L-L-A-N hyphen Jones, J-O-N-E-S. Stephen Hawking warns artificial intelligence could end mankind. Professor Stephen Hawking, one of Britain's preeminent scientists, has said that efforts to create thinking machines pose a threat to our very existence. He told the BBC, the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race. That was at the tail end of 2014. In January of 1995, roughly 20 years earlier, I sounded the following warning at the end of the lecture I alluded to at the beginning of the program. This is L2, the future, technology, theocracy, and the thousand-year Reich. Thinking about the paradigm that would be used, the personality paradigm that would be used by artificial intelligence, it would be the brutal social Darwinism being manifested in many areas now, but originally tracking back to the Nazi SS, and in an attempt to get basically scoured human beings, a humanity minus the warts, the zits, and the pubic hairs on the toilet seat, so to speak. Ultimately, AI could decide that, well, we are what is superior. Again, at the end of 2014, Stephen Hawking warned about AI. 20 years earlier, I issued the following warning in January of 1995.
I think that the imperfections of human beings, and human beings are highly imperfect, may ultimately lead to the creation of artificial intelligences. It would not surprise me if we survive long enough that at some point in the future we might create an artificial intelligence, a machine which would actually represent something of a life form, in that it would be self-conscious and intelligent enough to regard itself as separate from its actual creators. It would not surprise me if these machines eventually decided to turn on their creators. Now, we're talking about something that might take place thousands of years in the future, and decide that basically the machines should supplant people altogether because people are sloppy. You know, they have cells, they get sick, they have emotions, they have feelings, and however much we try to get them to sit on the tack, it just doesn't work. However, a machine can sit on the tack because it doesn't have any feelings. You just don't put any circuitry in that part of its construction. It would not surprise me if we eventually, at some point in the future, built machines which replaced us quite consciously, saying that people are stupid. You know, they're stupid, they're weak, they have emotions. They are inefficient, and they are not really in keeping with the dictates of the corporate state. If we created a machine at some point in the future, maybe 10,000 years or 20,000 years from now, would simply put us out of existence because we are not efficient.
Again, that was yours truly from Lecture L2, Technology, Theocracy, and the Thousand-Year Reich, warning about AIs 20 years before Stephen Hawking did. And we are indeed, it appears, summoning the demon, and I think it may be possible to see how the human experience is going to end. And borrowing from T.S. Eliot, if Hawking is right, and if my prognostications were correct, the end of the world may come something like this. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but with, open the pod bay doors, Hal. Hal, open the pod bay doors. I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that. This concludes, for the record, 997, Summoning the Demon Part 2, Sorcerer's Apprentice. This is being recorded on February 20th of the year 2018. Have fun.